And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Phil Conlon has dropped in. You remember him with the striped shirt and everything. You recognized him immediately. How are you doing, Phil?
Excellent. Good afternoon, Phil. Happy to be here.
Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Absolutely.
Never misses. And today we're going to talk about Austin Clark. He just died at the age of 81, and he was one of the world. He's one of Canada's, in Barbados' gift to the world, an author, and also many years as an activist. He struggled against racism. He taught at Yale and Duke, and he knew Malcolm X. We're going to talk today with an old friend of his, Norman Otis Richmond, our bluesologist and good friend. Later we're going to – and I have a word, too, about developments in Eritrea. We'll get to that. And then we will have Glenn Ford discussing the U.S. presidential race and his reaction to Brexit. I really haven't learned to say that yet. It's breakfast. Maybe it's a dog's breakfast. And then we will be speaking to a member of the United Auto Workers, Unifor, from Oshawa Local 222. The question is, are they going to shut down his GM planning on an exit from Oshawa? And there's a battle going on waged by Unifor. So we'll be speaking to Mr. Tony Leah. And we will wind up today with Stephen Gowans, gowans.wordpress.com, and he's also on Twitter. So these days I just say, look it up. You know how to do that. Just further, we're waiting for Otis to join us. I just say that, again, Austin Clark died at the age of 81. He won the Giller Prize for his novel Polished Hoe. He had a great style, a great prose style. He was a very warm man and a very passionate man. He had a terrific demeanor about him. Phil, you remember.
And I had the pleasure of meeting him once, and he was a really delightful person. And
I recall he came to a couple of events. We had Ishmael Reed here on the weekend, right. And the previous time that Ishmael was here, I had the pleasure of joining the two of them, and they had taught together at the same university. We're joined now by bluesologist Norman Otis Richmond. Are you there, Norman?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you very much.
I hope you can hear me.
Yes, yes, indeed, we can. And you're recognizable a mile away. Norman, you knew Austin Clark. We were just talking about his kind of role in our city, and, of course, he's known to World Letters before his many novels and stories. And you knew him. Give us some thoughts about him and what he was like as an individual and what he meant to you.
Well, first of all, when I first came to Toronto, I came to Toronto as a person who refused to go to Vietnam. And one of the first people to welcome me to the city of Toronto was Austin Clark. Austin and Betty Clark, his wife, and he used to live on Asquith Street where the same street the Toronto Public Library is. And I remember he invited me into his house. He showed me the chair in which Malcolm X had sat in. You know, that was one of his prized possessions. Uh-huh. He talked about, the fact that he had, met Malcolm in Harlem, and then Malcolm visited Toronto shortly before he was assassinated. And he came to Austin's house, and they had sat there and listened to, John Coltrane. I think you played Coltrane in the beginning of your show, I believe.
We intend to.
I think you're right.
Somebody is saying, yes, we did. So you know your music.
He talked about Malcolm. But and I found out later that, before I had come to Canada, there was a group of people, I think it was Howard Matthews, who's still in the land of the living, who's the husband of Salome Bay, and Austin Clark and others had done a tribute to Malcolm X, I think in 1966. And in 1967, a group that I belong to called the Afro-American Progressive Association, we organized a tribute to Malcolm X. But I remember I used to go to Austin's house, and you'd walk into Austin's house, and the first thing Austin would he would open up the door, and the first thing would ask you is, "Are you feeling peckish. And then he would go to the kitchen and invite you into the kitchen, and he would begin, as a Barbadian say, to talk a whole lot of shite. And he would just talk and talk, and he welcomed me as a, I guess he was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years older than me. I didn't know how old he was until, you know, I read his obituary. Yeah. But he welcomed me as a, like a little brother. And because I had refused to go to Vietnam, that was one of the things that attracted to him. But the other thing I think was we had mutual respect for the music called jazz. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Orson Clark was a man who loved Coltrane. He loved Miles Davis. He talked about Paul Chambers. That's a bass player. And he talked about Brohena Ibn Abdullah. That's Art Blakey. He says Art Blakey was his favorite drummer. And I had seen Art Blakey. I had seen Coltrane. In fact, I had met John Coltrane and saw John Coltrane many, many times. So we had that in common. And mm-hmm. But he had
Malcolm and you had Coltrane. That's a good mix.
And he liked Beethoven, and he liked classical music as well. And I used to, you know, I'm a victim of the public school system in Los Angeles, and they had us, they used to force us to listen to Bach and Beethoven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was used to Jimmy Reed and Howlin' Wolf and, you know, Smokey Robinson and Billie Holiday and people like that. Mm-hmm. And I began to, you know, appreciate classical music. You know, I really got hooked mm-hmm. up into, like, Rachmaninoff. So Austin influenced me to, like, you know, listen to some of the classical music because he was a well-rounded human being, you know.
Yeah. He, by the way, had been an athlete, right?
He was a track man. He was a track man.
Track and field.
He ran track and field, and you know,
people talk about these graceful movements. You know, sprinters do move different than other people.
I think Norman Manley was a sprinter, too. Norman Manley and Michael Manley, I believe.
We're outing all these sprinters.
Yeah. Norman Manley, I think at one time, Norman Manley, the Michael Manley's father, was a superb sprinter. I mean, so, you know, when we think about Usain Bolt, mm-hmm. we have to go back to...
It's a tradition.
Yes.
This is Norman Otis Richmond. By the way, now Austin Clark also was a managing editor of Contrast, and Contrast was on the front lines in the struggle against racism.
Yes. Jojo Chinto and Austin Clark were the editors at Contrast at that time. And Jojo Chinto and myself and Jojo's wife, Ama Chinto, we went to see Austin on Father's Day, and mm-hmm. I saw him. I went to see him on Saturday and Sunday, Father's mm-hmm. Day, and he was involved in Contrast and put together. You know, he was one of the pioneers in terms of Contrast. Contrast was an African Canadian weekly that was started by Alfred W. Hamilton, who was from Calgary, I think. Al was from Calgary, but Al was a pioneer in the, you know, the black press here. Mm-hmm. I think they had the Canadian Negro, mm-hmm. and the Canadian Negro was before Contrast, but you know, the Canadian Negro couldn't get any advertising because they were between me, you, and the lamppost. They were either in or close to the Communist Party
yeah.
of Canada. And, you know, so they couldn't go.
You left a lot of clues in there.
Yeah, and they couldn't get the advertising. Mm-hmm. But Al Hamilton was Al Hamilton always told me he was really an NDP man, but the NDP, at that time, people didn't feel the NDP could win, so he supported yeah. the Liberal Party, you know. But, he was a left-leaning mm-hmm. person himself.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure glad we're talking about Austin Clark. I'm glad that you got to see him on Father's Day. I can't think of a better time, better opportunity for you. I think that's And he's 81 years old. He had won all the prizes. We're going to play some of that Coltrane you mentioned. And Norman, thank you very much for talking about Austin Clark.
Thank you for inviting me. Anytime you need me, I'll be here.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's hear some John Coltrane.